Well, here we are, another year at camp. You know, a lot has happened since last year at our camp. A lot has happened in our church. A lot has happened, you know, in our youth department. A lot happened in our Timothy group. And let me say, I'm sure that a lot has happened in some of your lives. You know, many of you have been here before. Some of you, this is your first time. And I want to explain the philosophy behind our camp here at Old Paths Baptist Church. And it's basically a spiritual retreat for 4 days. We have fun. We do a lot of fun things. Fun-packed week for all of you. But it's also a time for all of us to get alone with God. I've always looked at camp, no matter where it was or when I did them, I always looked at camp as, you know, a time of strengthening, a time of building, laying foundations in your life that are going to last you maybe the rest of your lives. The laying of foundation in your life this week could be the changing aspect of your life. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it tells us that the day you get saved, you lay a foundation in your life. And then the rest of your life, you simply build on that foundation. You build three things there that are positive. It says gold, silver, and precious stones. The gold will be represented in the Bible, God's deity. So you learn about God. The silver in the Bible will always be dealing with the redemption that God had for you. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And then the precious stones are people. The people that your life crosses paths with, and yet you're going to either show them Christ or not. And this week we will have basically three kinds of people here. We're going to have saved people who you're really doing good. Maybe you came last year and maybe you really got it put together and you're really doing good for the Lord. For you, this is simply going to be a time of, building more truth on your foundation. This week will make you stronger in everything God wants to do with you. Then the second group of people that are here are people that you're saved, but you're struggling. Things aren't going the way that maybe the Lord would want them to go in your life. And you need this week to really look inside yourself and go back to that foundation that you laid when you trusted Christ as your own personal Savior, and then begin to rebuild on that foundation. You need to get some things out of your life. You need to change some things about your lifestyle. We'll talk about that as we go through the rest of this week. The third group are people that are here that you've never been saved. You have never trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Maybe you don't even fully understand what that means. That's okay. This week, you'll learn all about that. You'll learn it from our preaching, Danny, me, your counselors especially. And hopefully, you will come to the place in your life where you're going to lay that foundation of salvation in your life. And this week, we actually have everything you need at this camp by God's design for you to be everything that God wants you to be. You know, Danny is preaching in the morning and I'm doing the evening and you have your counselors. We have planned that this week is all about you. There's nothing else or nobody else that we're concerned about right now. It's you. This is your week. This is for you. And everything that you see around you, all of this stuff, We probably spend, I don't know, I haven't seen it yet, but based on last year's, we probably spend $30,000, $40,000 for on camp. And I don't care. You know why? Because it's for you. Because you're the most important thing in our world this week. And I know some of you out there, you are struggling. Some of you out there, you need to get saved. And it's my prayer this week that everything that we've done for you, that you can find everything that you need to be everything God wants you to be. I've got the best counselors in all the world that are here for you. They're my co-laborers in ministry. They are the best of the best, I'm telling you. They can help you. They'll work with you. You can go to them. You can talk to them about where you're struggling. They know their Bibles. They will give you the personal attention that you need. There's not one issue, kids, that you're struggling with that they can't deal with and help you through and get you where you need to be. On top of that, I've got the best camp staff anywhere in the world. They're also my co-laborers. They've been with me for years, many of them. They're dedicated to keep you safe. They're dedicated to feed you, cook for you. They're dedicated to provide whatever medical attention that you may need. They take care of all the bumps and the scrapes and all the bruises that you'll get this week. I have a team that will run all the events to make sure that you have a great time. We have the ladies and the people working in the crafts and the concession stand. You know, the grunt team is out there putting stuff together and doing everything to make your camp a success. You see, we're a team here. We're a team. Every person, no matter what the job, they see the importance of being a part of something that can change your life. They don't look at, well, so-and-so's doing this and I'm down here doing this. They don't look at it that way. They know that it takes everybody's effort to pull off a camp like we want to pull off. And you know, our theme this year is Born Identity. Now, it's based on the movie. How many ever saw the movie with Matt Damon in it, Born Identity? So you pretty much know what I'm talking about. He's Jason Bourne in the movie, who is some kind of secret agent, much like myself. And for whatever reason, he loses his memory. And the whole movie is about him trying to go here, find this person, find this, find that, to really find out who he really is. His real identity. And for all of us, really, that's our goal this week. For you to find out who you really are with Christ. Who you are to find out what he wants from you. What you should be to him. We called it the born again identity. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new." Let's pray. Father, help us today to speak to these young minds, these young bodies that are so full of life that, Lord, that you want them to grow up and be everything for you, that they can be a tremendous witness for you. And, Lord, I know there's going to be a lot of opposition this week because these kids are so important, not only to you, but to our church, to the Timothy group, to the high school group, to the other churches that are associated with us. So I pray your hand of protection upon this camp. Put it under the blood, Lord. Allow us to have the freedom to preach the Word of God, but more so the freedom of the Holy Spirit of God to do the work in each one of these kids' lives. Help the counselors have the wisdom. Give the staff, no matter where they're working, what they're doing, give them rest at night. Give them the ability to get through this week and stay on top of things. Because it may look like it's just a camp with a bunch of nice kids, but Lord, you know, and I know, that eternity hangs in the balance for every one of these kids. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and to finish the work that you've given us to do. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. Now, the Bible says here in verse 16 that what he's basically saying, before a person got saved, we looked at everything after the flesh in an unsaved condition, even Christ and people. Then he says, once we get saved, we don't look at it that way anymore. Why? Because now you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And when you get saved, or maybe you will get saved this week, some things changed. In fact, in your Bible, there's seven things that changed about you the day you got saved. This born-again identity will be found in these seven key areas. Now, along with that, this week, I want you to see three key areas of your youth ministry and your Timothy ministry, or wherever you're at. Many of you are around the country, but you with us through the different things that we do. I want you to see three incredible areas that you need to put into your life. Now, there's going to be a lot of things said this week. Danny is a great speaker, and he gave you some great stuff today. And I'm going to do my best to give you my stuff. But as far as I'm concerned, if you only leave here and remember these three things, I want you to remember it all. But if you only remember these three things, it'll change your life. And we're going to talk about one every night. Three key areas of your youth ministry at Old Paths Baptist Church that what God has provided for you. And the importance of you seeing and understanding these three areas within your youth group, within our church. The high school, Jared and McKenzie. And the Timothy, Danny and Jamie. And the thing that I want you to understand, and this is where I'm going with all this. The thing that I want you to get in your mind is, I know if you look at your, give me a schedule here. Who's got a schedule here? Yeah, I'm not going to mess it up. Just let me see it for a second here. And your schedule here, I love your notes. The speaker is really a good-looking guy. He looks like Matt Damien. On your schedule, it all ends Thursday, doesn't it? Thursday morning, your parents pick you up and you go home from there. But in reality, what I'm shooting for is for you to understand it doesn't end Thursday. Thursday, when you leave here, just the beginning. If you understand the three things I'm going to give you. And you have to see this, because this will make the difference that next year at camp, you won't come in struggling and have lost everything that we have done, tried to do this year. The key is getting you foundationalized, and then you keeping it going throughout the year. You give me the three things I'm going to give you, you put them in your life, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. And the youth workers themselves that are here. I would like Troy McKinney and Penny Hansinger and Jason's back there. So if he's not out on the crew, all three of you come up here, would you please? Quickly. Come on. I talk about people been here before. I came to Kansas City in 1976. My first camp was 1977. That's 46 years ago. He was 14 years old and was at my first camp. Penny was 9. Penny has been with me probably every camp. They're all related here. Alice, his mom, and grandma, and Penny, and Barb worked in the kitchens 30, 40 years. Jason here is related to them, and he just came into our church. So I want you to see what God will do. You know why he's here today? Tell him why you're here today.
Camp will change your life if you let it. I'm here today to honor my mother because it was so important to her to invest in children and kids and lives like your very own. And I want to thank Bob and Barb and Danny and for all of you for letting me come and help you.
He wants for you what God did for him. Penny, why are you here?
I just want to serve.
Penny's here because Penny has nowhere else to go. She's been with me for so many years. If we left her at home, she wouldn't know what to do. Why are you here?
I want to be involved. I just want to be involved.
You got your life where it needs to be, don't you, buddy?
Absolutely.
Huh? And you're part of it, man. We love you. Okay, guys, go back and sit down. That's my point. Now, I ask you a question. If the Lord doesn't come, you know where I'm going with this. Where will you be 47 years from today? See? Where will you be 10 years from today? But you got to get past where will you be next year? See? Yeah, I hope so. I believe you. I hope so. Do you know that the first man who died in the Bible was a young person right about your age? Abel. He was the first kid in the Bible who died. And the reason why the devil took him out through his brother Cain was because God had a plan for him and the devil wanted to stop that plan. And I'm telling you right now, God has a plan for you at the age where you're at and the devil wants to stop it. My prayer is some of you will be here next year helping me, helping the others find their true born-again identity, just like so many of you are. Many of the people who are your counselors got it put together right here at camp in the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the three absolutes. I like things that are easy to remember. On the back of your T-shirts, it says to be, to know, and to do. I like that. And see, because you can hitchhike off of that, which obviously they're doing. But I'm going to give you three other things that I'm going to hitchhike off of. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be here next year, you got to understand that camp does not end Thursday morning. You're going to have to see these three things, which will tie into the seven things that changed about you the day you got saved. Three key areas, and I'm going to talk about one each night. Tonight, number one, I want you to understand that God has provided a place for you to believe. This week, there are some things that you need to see. There are some things that you need to understand. There are some things that you need to believe in. There are some things that God wants you to know. And God has created our church, this camp, all to give you a place to believe in some things. Finding your true identity. Some of you are saved and you don't know who you are in Christ. Some of you are lost, and there's no way you can know who you are in Christ. In both cases, this week we want you to realize that God has given you a place to believe that you can find your true born-again identity. God, you put you in a church. He put you in a youth ministry. He put you in a Timothy ministry. And now you're at this camp. And he provided for you. And this is number one. He provided for you. You've got to see this. It doesn't end Thursday. It goes on because God has provided a place for you to believe. In our church, we have a Discipleship 1 program and a Discipleship 2 program. All kinds of different aspects for people to learn the Word of God. In Discipleship 1, we teach people the fundamentals. In Discipleship 2, we dig a little deeper. And then we show you in Discipleship 2 what really took place in your life the moment you trusted Christ as your own personal Savior. The seven things that changed about you the day you got saved. And within these seven things, this is where you'll find the theme of our camp, your born-again identity. And if you don't find that, if you don't recognize who you are, the devil will take you out. If you leave here at Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, he'll have you taken out by 10:15. You have to understand that in our church, in the Timothy, in the high school, God has provided a place for you to believe. I want to walk you through, we'll do three tonight, three tomorrow night, and two the last night, that when God provides a place for you to believe, you begin to understand what really changed about you. The day you got saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And tonight, I want to talk about the first three. Understanding God has given you now a place to believe. When you get saved, the first thing that changed about you was the inner man. Before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses of sin. You were going to hell. There's no way you could ever have any relationship with God whatsoever. But at the time of your salvation, and I hope if you're not saved, you get saved this week, because if you do, at that precise second of your salvation, the inner man is now changed. This is where the new creature in Christ Jesus begins. God now comes into your life. Holy Spirit of God comes into your life. And the Bible says over there in the book of Ephesians, the Bible talks about the fact that you're sealed now with the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "For what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price." The moment you trust Christ as your personal Savior, the first thing that changes, the inner man. Now you're saved. Now you're going to heaven. Now your question for eternity has been settled. And now the inner man has changed, so you now can build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't do that before. Now you can worship God, as John chapter 4, verse 24 tells you to. Now you start to build on that foundation. Like 1 Corinthians 3:12. Now you laid that foundation, the inner man has changed. God no longer looks at you as a sinner, kids. He now looks at you as his child. Everything now is different. All because the day you got saved and laid that foundation, God now changes the inner man. Second thing that changed. And this is you discovering your born-again identity. The second thing that changes, first change the inner man, And now there's a change in the outer man. The change of the inner man, and now you see you're a different person. Now you're aware of God in your life. Now you're aware of the things that please God and the things that does not please God. You now are what Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about. We all should be a living sacrifice. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Here it comes. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, because of the change of the inner man, we see the outer man, and now the world sees outwardly what has changed inwardly. Danny said it this morning, and I've said it many times, and I heard it from my father in the Lord. If your Christianity is not contagious, then you're contaminated. And what gives you the ability to be a living sacrifice and a witness to the world in the outer man is a change that took place in the inner man. You now become a witness for Christ to a lost world. This is why the counselors here today, who maybe just a year ago or 2 years ago were right where you're at, and they had to make their decisions. Many of them were saved at camp. Danny told you this morning how he was saved at a camp. I was at that camp. I was running the camp when he did. I've done camps for 50 years. Can't even remember them all. But they laid a foundation right here, many of them in this very room. And now here they are. Because of the change of the inner man, change the outer man, and now they are a witness for you. They're here for you. They care about you. And now they're going to do for you what somebody 2 or 3 years ago did for them. Then lastly, we see there was a change in the inner man. There was a change in the outer man. And then there's a change for the end of man. Now not only are you a new creature in Christ Jesus inwardly and outwardly, but now you're a new creature eternally. Now you can know. Because of the inner man, the outer man, now you understand the end of man. You're now going to heaven. You belong to Christ. When you laid that foundation in your life and you looked up and you saw yourself as a sinner and you knew that you couldn't get to heaven on your own and you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, when you laid that foundation in your life, the inner man changed. And if you do what I'm telling you to do, the outer man will change. But then the end of man changed. Now you belong to Him. Now you're going to heaven. You know, if you're here tonight, and I know most of you, but if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure, 100%, if you would die just this second, that you'd go home to be with the Lord, that is the greatest decision that you're ever going to have to make in life. And I don't know why, I just don't know why that everybody here that finds themselves in that situation wouldn't make that sometime this week. You see, I want your counselors, they're going to do their jobs. They're going to work with you. They're going to talk with you. And they're going to look into your life and see where the inner man is and try to help you with all of that, because that's the key. That's the key. And that's the real question, honestly. That's the real question that not only are you faced with, but everybody on this planet is faced with. Do you know if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? You see? And here in this week, because God has provided a place for you, You have everything at your fingertips to find the answer to that. You don't have any radio, you don't have any TV, you don't have any video games, you don't have anything to take your attention off of it. The Holy Spirit of God, when you're sleeping at night, He's walking up and down these sidewalks. He's going into your bunks and walking around and looking at you, and He wants you so desperately to give your life to Him. You have now at your fingertips this week everything you need to be whatever God wants you to be. And it's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible, but it's also in the place that God provided for you. He gave you this place. He provided a place for you. A place that you can begin to learn about Him. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, He says this. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which have heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also when you believe." And I want you to notice that the word of God will only work in you once you believe. And then through the word of God, once the inner man is changed and the outer man is changed, and you understand that the end of man is changed, and you begin to realize where God has put you, the people that He has put into your life and into your world, you realize that you have everything that you need because of the place that God has provided for you. Camp does not end Thursday morning. I want you next year to be just as tied in and dialed in and just as walking with God. And the only way you're going to do that, if you're in the Timothy, to realize that God provided a ministry for you. If you're in the high school, you realize that God provided a ministry for you in a place. Old Path Baptist Church. Everything you need. Everything that you need. You remember what Danny told you this morning when he gave you 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11, 12, and 13. It's Paul speaking to his young man that he was bringing up in the Word of God, his son of the Lord, Timothy. Timothy got saved. The inner man changed, the outer man changed, and boy, Timothy went to town because he realized eternally what God had done for him. And Danny told you this morning, he says, he read it, he says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And then he says this, "Until I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine." You know, he says, "These things command and teach." I'm committed and commanded to teach these things to you. Because your life as a young person is invaluable to God. And he says, "Let no man despise your youth." You can be an example, not to the believers, but an example of the believer. And then he says, in conversation and in charity and in spirit and in all of those things that Danny gave you this morning. And the only way that you're going to do that is you understanding your born-again identity. Who you are now that you're in Christ. And actually, this week is really simple. I can break it down for you in the simplest, easiest terms. The devil wants you to define yourself for his work. And God wants to define you who you are, that you'll stand for him and do his work. You find the model of this, and I'm not going to get into it tonight, but you need to look at it, is Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. when Daniel was taken captive with the Hebrew children down into Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, the most wickedest king that ever lived, he tried to take those Hebrew children who were trained and taught to love God and love the Word of God, and he tried to change who they were. And that's what the world is going to do with you, or try to do with you. And this is why, kids, it's so important to see and understand your born-again identity. But the only way you're going to make it is to stop and realize that God has provided a place for you to learn. To learn those spiritual things that you need. A place to believe. These next 3 days, you have a basic fundamental question to answer. And the question is simply this: where are you at with the Lord? Now, I realize, as I said at the beginning of my message, some of you hitting on all 8 cylinders and you're doing good. Some of you are struggling. And some of you sitting here tonight, you do not know for sure if you died right this second that you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the real only question this week to answer. I'm glad you're having fun. I'm glad you did the obstacle course. Sliding around on that soapy thing down there looked like it was a great time, but I'll pass on it. But you see, that's what we provided for you, to have a good time. But kids, come on, you got to understand. The real reason we're here is because we know how important you are to God, but I also know how important you are to the devil. And some of you this week are going to make a decision one way or the other. I can't make the decision for you. All I can do is what we have done here is give you an environment, a place to give you the best opportunity to discover your born again identity and realize who Christ really is and what he wants with you, and then the only way you're going to get there. Counselors, we talked about this when we had our meeting, remember? You're the ones that have to carry the ball here. You're going to have these kids tonight. You need to be sensitive to where they're at. You need to start to talk with them to see where they're at. I'm going to continue to push the buttons. And tonight, kids, all I want you to do is think about what I said. I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. I want you to think about it. We're not going anywhere. If we're here, and God will give us the time and the grace for us to make whatever decisions we have to make. And if I'm telling you right now, I've been with God for 50-some years. And here's how much he loves you. God is up in heaven. He knows it's Monday night, 7:27. And he's getting ready to tell the angels, at 8 o'clock, we're going to do the rapture, and we're going to put this thing to bed and put it to rest. Amen. And then he thinks for a minute, and he says, well, I'm going to put the rapture off to Thursday morning. And the reason why he would do that is because he knows that some of you are here without Christ, and he so desperately wants you saved. Amen. I firmly believe, amen, he would wait, amen, to get you saved. Amen. Now, if that don't do something for you, then he had to come right now and leave you in hell. He loves you. He cares for you. And this week, we have done everything we know to do to show you your born-again identity. And to help you understand the first part of it, he's given you a place to believe. And of the 7 things that change, the inner man, the outer man, and the end of man, I want you to come to Christ this week, but it has to be your decision. I love you. I'm praying for you. Your counselors love you. The staff love you. Everybody is doing everything they know how to do, so you'll find Christ. But ultimately, the decision is yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. And I love these kids. And I love coming to preach to them because they're my kids. They're in my church. And all of these people that work with them, the staff and Jared and Danny and Jamie, we're all laborers together. And I look back at, you know, Troy and Penny and Jason and how, Lord, your hand has just brought them to where we're at today. What a testimony that 47 years later, we had 100 and some kids at that camp back then. And as I stand here today, I only know of 5 or 6 of them that's still serving the Lord. But those 5 or 6 make a difference. And Lord, help these kids. Help them to see that they need to understand how you died for them, what you have for them. In a world that is completely upside down, turn it right side up and allow them this week to see what the price that was paid for their salvation, that they may build a foundation in their life. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For sake we ask it. Amen. I love you, kids. You think about what I said tonight.